switched. Straight Talk Wireless, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome live from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, the supersized version, as we're putting it. That's what we're dubbing it today, the supersized version of the KGYM Road Trip. It is presented and driven by Linder Tire Service. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes and Jeff Downing and Zach Johnson back in the studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids as we get ready to take you through the 3 o'clock hour here on this Friday afternoon. Scott Docterman from the Land of 10 covering the Iowa Hawkeyes is going to be joining us here live at Coach's Corner, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard in the Walden Square here in Iowa City. Just off of Mormon Trek Boulevard, we invite you to stop on by just south of the Finkbine Golf Course where the University of Iowa will be hosting their Hawkeye Invitational Saturday and Sunday, hopefully without interruption by Mother Nature. And again, we invite you to stop on by here. We're going to have some great KGYM or opportunities to win some great swag from KGYM, some of those world-famous pint glasses and everything else under the sun here, Mark, is going to be. Todd's getting it out right now.
Todd organizing the gift table as we speak. So that coming up from 4 to 7 as you join Todd Brommelkamp in Alex Kuhn's absence today. Great show, as you mentioned, Scott Docterman, and some news from around the country. Afternoon baseball going on right now. Cubs and Pirates knotted up at 1-1.
No, it's 2-1 now.
2-1 now, I'm sorry. Cardinals Yankees tonight, 6:05 first pitch. So in addition to the TVs, the food, drinks, right now happy hour underway, $2 domestic pints, $2.50 domestic bottles here at Coach's Corner Sports Pub.
NHL hockey probably might be featured on a couple of the televisions as well. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's 6:30 tonight when game 2 between the Blues and the Wild gets kick-started here this evening. As I mentioned, we're going to talk to Scott Docterman coming up here in just a couple of moments. First of all, though, some news coming up out of Iowa City today. It looks as though, according to several published reports, that University of Iowa Assistant Athletic Director Gene Taylor is going to be leaving Iowa City and is going to be the new athletic director at Kansas State University, taking over down there. And certainly nothing yet, no releases from either Iowa or Kansas State, but there are a few published reports out there that he is going to be the new AD down in Manhattan, Kansas.
Yeah, currently the number two man in the Iowa administration right now behind Gary Barta. And as you said, multiple reports saying Gene Taylor will be heading for the Little Apple and becoming the new AD there. So who's next in line for Iowa? Speculation will begin.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll see. I'm sure that job has to be posted and whatnot. But I think there's some internal candidates and probably some external candidates as well.
Yeah, College AD, their Twitter account, I think, was the first one to actually report that. Numerous people that cover the Hawkeyes also jumping in on that as well. And so it looks like Gene Taylor is going to be headed to Manhattan, Kansas. Iowa and Kansas State have played before in football. Maybe they'll play again sometime. Would Iowa want to play two Big 12 teams? Would they want to play two Power 5 teams? I guess that's the question out there.
I don't think Kirk Ferentz is really fond of that, facing a former colleague in Bill Snyder. Bill Snyder undergoing some health issues right now. But I don't think Kirk's maybe too fond of that. But we are going to get into some scheduling positions with Scott Docterman, as he wrote a column about that in regards to how the Iowa-Iowa State series fits in there. I know it's a kind of a hot button topic with a lot of you out there, and you'd be willing to weigh in on our Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, 319-366-1600.
Yep, love to have you comment on that when we talk about it. Marshawn Lynch is reportedly back in the National Football League as well, as it has been reported by multiple sources that he is going to sign with the blank Raiders. Can I still say the Oakland Raiders? even though the Coliseum doesn't want them now. The Lame Duck Raiders, apparently they will be getting the services of Marshawn Lynch, who sat out last year after being a Seahawk for many, many years. Not a real big surprise, I guess, that he's back in the National Football League. I still think, obviously, taking 1 year off like that can't hurt him as far as his durability is concerned. He's a year or two older, yes, but he missed out on a 12 months to 15 months of being beat up last year by National Football League defenses.
It's kind of funny how these players leave the game, think they want to hang it up, and then not so long later, you know, they want back in the game. I know the Patriots expressed some interest in Marshawn Lynch, but I don't think he could probably do anything but help the Raiders. They still have McFadden, I think, don't they?
Yep.
Marshawn Lynch going to be...
I'm not sure if they have McFadden or not.
Lynch going to be 31 here next week, so we'll see how much he contributes.
319-366-1600 if you'd like to weigh in on that. I mentioned afternoon baseball going on as well. We've got baseball tonight between the Twins and the White Sox coming up at 7 o'clock. That'll be on 107.5 FM, the North Gym, here this evening. And again, if you'd like to weigh in, we'd love to hear from you on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line on the news of the day. Gene Taylor, your thoughts about that at 319-366-1600. And again, we invite you to come on down to Coach's Corner. Plenty of room down here, but starting to fill up here as we speak. Derek is here. He'll give you a red ticket, and you can win some great prizes from KGYM. So looking forward to giving some stuff away today. And sun is out, too, if you have plans tonight to maybe head out to the ballpark. Both here in Iowa City and in Cedar Rapids, the Iowa softball team. The suddenly red-hot Iowa softball team.
Yes.
In action tonight at Pearl 6 o'clock. And then Cedar Rapids Colonels on the first Z102.9 Mug Club night. They are scheduled to take on Wisconsin tonight at 6:35.
Let's hope the weather holds. It certainly warmed up when that sun came out. And really a nice day going on out there right now. The Iowa baseball team starts a series at Nebraska. I think 6:30, 6:35 first pitch over there in Lincoln. Rick Heller's squad having a nice season as well.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see how this is going to play out because tomorrow is the world-famous Nebraska spring game.
Yeah.
And I was looking earlier on at Twitter, and they were giving parking directions and whatnot. If you don't know, the Nebraska spring game sells out. There are going to be nearly 100,000 people in Lincoln tomorrow for the spring game for the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And one of the places they can park, I believe, for $5 is Haymarket Field, which is the home of the Nebraska baseball team. Oh, by the way, playing tomorrow at some point. So that should be very interesting. My best advice is to get there early.
Talk about taking a back seat.
Yeah. Yeah, the Iowa-Nebraska baseball series probably taking a little bit of a back seat, I would imagine, to the festivities going on as far as Husker football tomorrow. 319-366-1600. As I mentioned, we've got a four-pack of tickets to give away to Cedar Rapids Colonels baseball. We've had them all this week, and thank you very much to the Colonels for helping us out. They're going to be good for either Saturday, April the 22nd, or Sunday, April the 23rd. The game's coming up against the Kane County Cougars over at Perfect Game Field Veterans Memorial Stadium, so we'll have your final chance to win those coming up here in just a little bit. Another piece of news you heard at the top of the hour, Aaron Hernandez has been found not guilty of double murder. Now, before you say, well, wait a minute, he's in jail, isn't he, right now? Yes, he is. This is two separate murders from what I read, Mark. He's in prison already for life for one murder, and this was another double murder that he went to the jury against.
Yeah, today's verdict regarding the 2012 situation that Hernandez was allegedly involved in, but as you said, not guilty. The 2013 situation with Odin Lloyd being murdered is why Aaron Hernandez is in prison and will be there for quite some time.
Yeah, and he's not going anywhere. Not going anywhere right there. Did you see, before we get to break here, did you see the golf shot that John Daly hit?
I did indeed, and it's very John Daly-esque. Barefoot, in shorts.
Had a shirt on, though, thankfully.
Had a shirt on. Thank you very much, John, for that. But had a makeshift tee on top of a beer can, hit a driver, made good connection with the ball. The beer can tipped over, and he quickly grabbed it and guzzled the rest.
Yes, he did, because obviously that would be wasteful if he did not do that. And speaking of which, it is happy hour here at the Coach's Corner. Some great specials going on right now.
Yep, $2 domestic pints, $2.50 domestic bottles here at Coach's Corner Sports Pub. The staff ready and willing to serve you and your needs. The Coach's Garden open right now as the sun shines out there. So a lot of options here as the Cubs and Pirates, 2-1 Cubs right now.
But first and third, nobody out for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that didn't mean anything a couple innings ago either.
And Philadelphia and Washington also just getting underway right now. MLB extra innings on here at the Coach's Corner in Iowa City. It is 14 past the hour of 3. We'll go ahead. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back here to Coach's Corner, and we're going to talk to Scott Docterman, who covers the Hawkeyes for the Land of 10. And we will talk with him about Iowa spring football and more when we return after this, as you're listening to the Friday edition of the Gym Class, part of the KGYM Road Trip, driven by Linder Tire Service. Here in Iowa City. Back with more after this on KGYM.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the Gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Canine Companions represent unconditional love, joy, security, and compassion. Honor them and take a bite out of cancer at the American Cancer Society's Bark for Life of Linn County, April 22nd at Guthridge Park in Hiawatha. There'll be a dog walk and lots of activities for your whole family to enjoy.
Details at KGYMradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
It's even easier for neighbors to help neighbors these days. Fairfax State Savings Bank has been helping their neighbors get ahead for years. And with their new bank house in Amana, it's easier than ever to work with a bank that's wherever you need them to be. Both locations have the latest things like e-banking and mobile deposit, but what makes them really different is their ability to make it easy for you to get that loan. And that hasn't changed a bit. Visit thebankhere.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Bank House is a division of Fairfax State Savings Bank.
Fixing your pavement can be more affordable than you think. Spring into action and stop dodging those cracks and potholes. Call Paint Asphalt. They can handle commercial parking lots, roadways, and your very own driveway. Serving the area for over 30 years, Paint Asphalt has decades of experience. Make your parking lot, roadway, and driveway look great. Pave it to last with Paint Asphalt. See them at paintasphalt.com.
Texting while driving is a very dangerous form of distracted driving. Drivers who use handheld devices while driving are 4 times as likely to get into crashes that can injure themselves or others. Drivers of all ages simply don't realize the dangers that are posed when they take their eyes and minds off the road. Everyone needs to do their part. Help save lives. Don't text and drive. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
Hawkeyes, Cyclones, Panthers, and all the college teams in the area. If it's in the news, they'll be talking about it. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
Back with you here on the Friday edition of Gym Class, coming your way here on KGYM. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes with you. I will be, for good or for bad, I will be sitting in on the Todd Brommelkamp show today. Not with Alex Kuhn or Alex Kuhn. It's with Scott Unash today. So we'll look forward to that. I got a lot of good stuff back here. Did a lot of research today. I'm ready to go for 4 hours today.
For would you?
No. Not a special. There is no special Friday edition of Would You, is there? Mark got me all excited right there, but no, we do have Love It or Leave It, which I have not been a part of before, so I'm very much looking forward to that. Should mention before we get to Scott Docterman here, and we can go over this as well, some news out of the NCAA office today, some new legislation, Mark, coming down as far as the NCAA is concerned. There is going to be an early signing period now in December. As far as the NCAA is concerned, a 10th assistant coach is also going to be included as far as that legislation. You've got the Harbaugh rule, and you've got the Manning rule coming in as well. So a lot of things that came down the pike today.
Yeah, preventing schools from hiring people that are close to an athlete. I think that's for a couple years. Limiting signings to 25, and then eliminating two-a-days I'm pretty sure that's still part of the, maybe Scott can clear that up, but eliminating 2 days in football.
That is true. Yeah, that's going to be the case. So they're going to eliminate those. And we'll have more on that coming up here. In fact, we'll probably talk with Scott Doctorman about that, who joins us live here on the stage at Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard. And we invite you to come on down. Happy hour is underway, as we mentioned, and got baseball going on the televisions here this afternoon. And a lot of the TVs, Scott, Wrigley Field, and you were there yesterday in the bleachers enjoying yourself.
It was a great moment. My wife and I went 18th anniversary a couple days ago.
Oh, so congratulations.
We decided to take off and go to Wrigley, make it up and back in one day, and it was one of those days where it started off about 45 degrees, rainy and cold, and then by about the fifth inning in the bleachers, it felt like it was 75.
So did you take your shirt off?
Not all the way off. I don't want to scare everybody. I'd be the reason why they would have, you know, the ivy in the middle, so that the batters don't get blinded.
I think we need to congratulate Meredith more than Scott, but we'll see about that.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Let's talk about some of these regulations that the NCAA Division I Council threw out there today, and I think they take effect. They're going to be voted on later this month and then take effect varying times. But among all the things that you heard, what do you think will have the biggest impact on college football?
Oh, boy, I think they all do in some ways, but I think the 10th coach, first of all, I think that starts in January is when you can actually make that higher. I think that's important for teams. It allows more recruiting, more hands-on, because I think what we're seeing in a lot of cases, and even in Iowa, were sometimes uneven coaches. You know, there might be only three defensive coaches and six on the offensive side of the ball. I think that's helpful. The 25 scholarship rule, I think it makes things more universal, because we've seen in the past where teams will cheat a little bit. They'll get a few more, you know, different conferences have different rules. This makes things more universal, as it should. But I think probably the most important was the early signing date. I know the coaches have got to love this. You know, is it good for the student athlete? I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, to sign in December. Now, if they were to sign in the summer, that might be. But the junior college signing, Iowa traditionally, in the last handful of years, has had double-digit figures of recruits. And this makes sure that, you know, if there are 13 recruits or 15 that are committed, they all can sign, and Iowa can move on to different people, and then they don't have to get bugged for the next two and a half months. And Iowa's pretty straightforward. Other programs are not. They might discard a 9 to get a 10, you know, that type of thing.
Well, we know about commitments and what they mean, and signing is an entirely different thing. So I think an early commitment who does sign, I agree. I think it would be a better situation.
But well, coaches,
you get them on the dotted line.
Right. Yeah. Coaches will leave them alone at that point.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. You know, they have a chance to say, you know, Kirk uses this analogy all the time. You know, are we holding hands or are we going steady or something? And I think this is the same situation here where, you know, if you're committed to Iowa, but because it's your best offer at that point and you have that chance, now you have to sign December 17th or whatever. Then you decide, okay, am I really waiting for a better offer, or is this the best one that I've got? And I think it also allows schools to kind of go, okay, you're kind of with us. Maybe we need to start looking around, too. It gives them an early period, because I remember a few years ago when Caron Higdon was committed to Iowa all the way up until the day before, and then he jumped to Michigan. And so that hurts the schools who are trying to find fallback options. I think this way you can find fallback options with 5 to 6 weeks left.
Right now, the proposed early signing date is mid-December. That's only 2 months difference. Is everybody on board in terms of college coaches with that December date, or would they like it even earlier, I wonder?
I think it depends on the schools. Iowa would prefer it then, maybe even earlier. The Blue Bloods would not, because the Blue Bloods can then take whoever they want. When they get in late January, it's like, okay, we need two more kids. Who do we go after? And then it's, well, Iowa has this kid from Ohio, and maybe Ohio State says, look, we want this kid. We need a fallback defensive tackle or something like that. And then they oftentimes get them. You know, Iowa does the same thing with MAC recruits. You know, so it's kind of a slippery slope. So I think it's more helpful for the, you know, I think it's a good thing for most schools lock up the ones you know for sure, and then work on the ones you're not 100% sold on you or you think you've got, and then look forward.
Yep. And before we get to a question on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line here, the 10th assistant coach, you think that I got to think, first of all, yeah, recruiting, yes. The other thing is special teams. I think you're going to see a lot more special teams only coaches come in as far as the college ranks are concerned. Do you think they'll go that way or maybe perhaps a different way?
It could be. I mean, if somebody's really good at that, I think you might want to do that. Get somebody who that's their specialty, sure. You know, and you can, and that person in a lot of cases could help you get a lot of recruits, because special teams only coaches or people who are involved in it generally work with a lot of younger players, you know, who are in their first or second year at the school, so they know them a little more directly. So I think that's possible. In Iowa's case right now, they have a defensive coordinator who coaches the secondary. And they also have a linebackers coach, and they have their recruiting coordinator handles part of the defensive end lineman, and then one other one handles the defensive line. So really they have three people who are dedicated to defense, plus Kelvin Bell, who handles, who's assistant defensive line coach and recruiting coordinator. So in this case, maybe they get a secondary coach. Right. Or maybe they get a running backs coach and move somebody over, you know, and alleviate that from Brian Ferentz. So.
Well, I think more than anything else, maybe not more than anything else, but an additional aspect to this is the ratio of athletes to coaches in football is the widest of any sport. So you're getting another full-time guy in there to concentrate on athletes or position group, yeah.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Look at basketball.
Yeah.
There are 13 recruits. You have three assistants and one head coach. That's, you know, one for, you know, what, three? You know, mm-hmm. three and a half, whatever. In football, right now, you have nine assistants and one head coach for 85 scholarship athletes plus another 20 whatever walk-ons. You know, it's hard to find, especially when you get in the season, it's hard to find people who can relate to them. And sometimes kids slip through the cracks that normally wouldn't.
Is this going to eliminate the gray shirt situations?
No, because I think they're still guys that – it's scholarship numbers that kind of affect them
okay.
a little bit. Like, look, Noah Clayburgh is a good example. I mean, they just didn't feel like they had the scholarship available for him in the fall, so that's why they gray-shirted him, had him come in, take classes, but wasn't a part of the team, and now he's part of the team with a scholarship.
1260 on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Do you think Iowa may back off committed recruits that don't sign early?
I think so. I think it just shows you that their options are open, so Iowa's needs to be as well. So I think it's a way of showing your cards pretty early in the process, as opposed to being committed, and then all of a sudden, you know, again, Iowa recruits Ohio, and all of a sudden, 3 weeks or 2 weeks before signing date, Ohio State or Michigan or Penn State comes in with an offer. This way they have to say, yes, I'm 100% committed, or I'm 85% committed.
I've heard a lot – watched and read a lot of the national bloggers as far as recruiting is concerned. They're saying it's not going to have a big change as far as the February recruiting time. I got to think it's going to be a big change getting that early signing period.
I think it's a big change here. I don't know about there. Now, I think that what it means is there's still going to be, again, I'm just kind of ballparking here, but let's say 13 of Iowa's 16 recruits in December decides to sign. The other three are, they like Iowa, but they still want to wait. So then that throws them kind of back into the pool a little bit, and Iowa's got to decide, is this tight end really with us, or is he kind of with us? You know, what's he waiting on? And then that allows Iowa to look ahead. So I think that it's a big move here, but I think the big schools are still going to, you know, the blue bloods are still going to get who they want when they want them.
What about the elimination of two-a-days? I think the proposal is to have no more than the three-hour practice right now.
Yeah.
Expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, you have a three-hour practice, then you have 3 hours in the middle, and you're allowed one walkthrough. But you can't have any contact, no helmets, no pads of any kind on, and that lasts for 2 hours. So let's say you start your practice at 8 a.m. and you go till 11. You eat, you have meeting time, you rest, whatever. And then from 4 to 6, you could have a walkthrough, but no contact whatsoever. So I don't know. I mean, I'm old school. I did the two-a-days back when I was in high school in the 80s and 90s.
They suck, man.
They were terrible. No doubt about it. I hated them. But, you know, and so it's always hard from that perspective to go, you know what, back when I was playing, it was great. But the contact and the collisions are so strong now versus what they were then. that it's going to have an impact on probably tackling. I think that that would probably be the worst part of this.
Yeah, well, it's evolution as far as the whole safety concept as far as football is concerned. It's probably the next logical step.
Yeah. And you know, you think about it legs-wise, because they're not allowed to have conditioning in that walkthrough either. You know, what's that going to do? Now, they do so much conditioning now in the summer and the spring compared to 20, 35, 40 years ago that it may not have much of an impact. But that said, it's you know, so you might have fewer pulled muscles maybe this way, or maybe you'll have more. I guess we'll find out. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic.
Up today on Land of 10, the website at which you work, you wrote a piece about, and this has been a hot topic, hot topic on not only our show but the Todd Brommelkamp show, and it is every year, I think, when a new non-conference opponent is announced. Lately, Middle Tennessee State announced for 2019 on Iowa's schedule. You wrote a piece, basically, you can describe it, but basically kind of defending the Iowa-Iowa State series, because I think some folks want to see that game drop and pick up another Power 5 conference team.
Yeah, I wrote it from the perspective that Iowa State right now is holding Iowa back. And it's not so much the competitiveness of the series. I enjoy it. I grew up in this state. I have I have three sisters-in-law who went to Iowa State. I have two family members who went to Iowa, you know, so on my wife's side. So I have, you know, a rich tradition or a rich background in this series, in this rivalry. I've covered a ton of them. But when you look at not the games on the field, you know, Ferentz is 9-9 against Iowa State, and the games are generally, last year notwithstanding, are fairly close. They're competitive. But the fact is, when, you know, the last, 6 years, Iowa State's 23-51. Iowa's 46-32. I mean, Iowa State, the last time they won more than seven games was in 2000. That was the only year that they had a winning record in Big 12 play. So when Iowa wins, what does it get out of this game? You know, now it's a rivalry, and I respect it, and I love it, and I think it's great. But at the same time, when you get Colin Cowherd calling you out, calling you fake IDs because of your non-conference schedule all the time, and that became a talking point in 2015, Iowa's non-conference schedule, then you're going to have to start evaluating that. And as much as I like this series and this rivalry, and most of the people in the state do as well, if you're Iowa, you got to say, you know, are we getting enough out of this right now? Or is beating Iowa State doing enough for us to help us advance? And Iowa's got to ask that question. And I think right now Iowa State isn't quite pulling its weight outside of this game.
You don't want to see Iowa play Kansas. I mean, I've argued. I mean, it's not Iowa's fault that Iowa State has been down for quite some time.
Right.
Also takes two to tango. You got to find a dance partner too. Now Iowa's had Pitt. Iowa's had Syracuse. They're not going out west. Forget about that. Probably, you know, you're talking Southeastern Conference. You're not going to get the big boys, probably. So that leaves you probably the ACC.
Well, you never know. I mean, I think you look at what Iowa has to do is Iowa has to measure itself against Wisconsin and Nebraska. Those are the two big dogs in their division along themselves. They cannot fall behind those two teams. So they look at you look at a Wisconsin, and they're kicking off with LSU. They're kicking off with Alabama. And Iowa's got to ask itself, what is this doing to impact Iowa? I mean, in perception-wise, Wisconsin beating LSU last year, you know, propelled them to one heck of a season, but also just put a recruiting advancement and an advantage well above what Iowa does, the way Iowa schedules. Now, if Iowa was to, say, take a break from Iowa State, Iowa needs to be in that pool. Iowa has to get a Texas A&M. Iowa has to get somebody to make it worth it while, because if you mentioned, if you're even scheduling Syracuse or Pitt the way they have over Iowa State, then it really doesn't do you any good. You have to do something to move the needle, and that's where Iowa needs to be.
Waiting for this. 11-21. The rivalry 9-9 over the last 18 meetings between Iowa and Iowa State, which is true, very much true.
That's my point. My point isn't the Iowa-Iowa State game. It's never the Iowa-Iowa State game. The point is, what do you do outside of Iowa-Iowa State game? Iowa goes to bowl games. Iowa State doesn't. You know, the last 6 years, Iowa State's 23-51. Iowa's 46-32. Iowa gets drilled nationally for what it for its non-conference schedule. And if Iowa State was perennially going to bowl games and competing, and once in a while getting 8 and 9 wins, then this is a moot point.
Yep.
But if Iowa State's 3 and 9, 3 and 9, 2 and 10, 3 and 9, like they were the last 4 years, you're look what it appears to be nationally is Iowa scheduling a patsy.
Yeah.
Iowa State's got to do better. Now I hope Iowa State does, and I think they can under Matt Campbell, but otherwise, right now, Iowa's getting dragged down.
Big topic out of the Iowa camp as we head towards the spring game, maybe somewhat alarming, is that Nate Stanley and Tyler Wiegers apparently, quote unquote, neck and neck in the quarterback race. And I think I read your comment as, you know, let's not get too excited about this quite yet, right?
I know. How's that for driving traffic? Don't get too fired up over the quarterback situation. No, I think right now it's smart. They got new coaches on staff. Give everybody a chance. These two, you know, Tyler Wiegers, who was the backup in 15, Nathan Stanley, who beat him out in 16, you know, he's the backup. He looked like he was going to be the heir apparent, but I think now through the spring it makes sense to go ahead and watch both of them just to make sure you've got the right guy, because maybe Ken O'Keefe will spot something different in Tyler Wiegers that the last coaches didn't. Maybe in this offense and these subtle changes that we really won't be able to spot for a while, especially with the wide receivers, that maybe there's something better different there. And if that's the case, you owe it to yourselves, because Tyler Wiegers is a 4-star recruit,
right?
You know, he was a guy who's 6'4", you know, 235, well built. I mean, you owe it to him and yourself to take a look at it. Plus, if you announce right now Nathan Stanley's your guy and you're not 100% sure, Tyler Wiegers might be looking.
Well, you got Peyton Manziel coming in, and he was on your recruiting show.
Yep,
Scott,
very confident,
fully
young man.
Intent on coming in and competing, which is unlikely.
Yeah,
but.
Right. Yeah, well, let's give him some time.
Yeah,
you know, maybe he will next year. You know, I mean, you know, really. What you would, in a perfect world for Iowa, it's if Stanley does win the job and you redshirt Manziel, then next year you'd have Stanley as a junior, Manziel as a freshman, you know, and who knows what Wiegers would be around or not, you know, and then that way you kind of stagger your classes out and you feel pretty good about your situation. Next
All of year. Which begs the question, what about Drew Cook and Ryan Boyle? I mean, we've talked about them maybe switching positions or whatnot. It's getting a little bit late in the game for them, isn't it?
Well, this is their third spring. You know, they're going into their sophomore year. I think what you'll probably see with these two is at the end of spring meetings, hey, they've already announced, the coaches have, that the tiers are split, that there's two that are ahead and two that are behind. And, if you know, Ryan Boyle played wide receiver last year. I don't know if this, you know, if it makes sense for him. He wants to be a quarterback. They get one spring in as a quarterback, then bolt. I'm only speculating right now, but you've seen these situations before. And then with Drew Cook, it might be at the end of practice, as this, you know, hey, here's where you stand. You stand third, and the guy who is younger than you is ahead of you. Here's your opportunity. If you want to make the move, now would be the perfect time to do it. We gave you the fair shot. You know, two full seasons, two full springs. You're behind. You know, if you want to play, then you might want to investigate a move to, you know, tight end or whatever. And I guess I kind of see it as let them all compete. Now's the chance before their sophomore year to make a move, because I think Drew Cook has enough ability that he could make that move and be a contributor maybe in the fall, and then a really good player in the future.
Well, the other thing you mentioned, the wide receiver position. Right now, healthy guys on the field for spring practice. I believe there are only two scholarship wide receivers at this point. So what was a headache for Iowa in 2016, if they took some ibuprofen, it hasn't kicked in yet for 2017.
Right. I mean, if you want to talk about a bad situation getting worse, I mean, last year it was bad. I mean, we saw it. You know, they had a pretty good quarterback and, you know, really drug him down. And now you're looking and you're saying two scholarship guys, neither of which actually caught a pass last year. You know, you have a walk-on from Iowa Western, who they like quite a bit, Nick Easley, but still, you know, he hasn't caught a pass in a Big Ten game. We've seen junior college kids that have high profiles do nothing. You know, and you got in your number two, your top two wide receivers, one's hurt and the other one is as academic indigestion, let's say. So you have that issue. So this is a really bad situation. I think what I've seen from Iowa is at areas where they're good, they are very good. And areas where they are bad, they are bad. You know, and I right now I'd put wide receiver in that category, that not only are they inexperienced, but they don't have enough scholarship guys, and that's probably going to hurt the team right now. If they had to play a game, they'd have to run every down but one a game. I mean, it's bad.
It appears Brandon Snyder is going to be out for the season at free safety. I, for one, thought he not only improved, but was really a valuable asset to that defense, particularly in run support. And what's back there at free safety to take his place?
Well, right now Jake Gervais is the backup to him. He's a former walk-on from Davenport Assumption. I don't think he's got a scholarship yet. And Imani Hooker, who was a freshman last year, played on special teams, and he was supposed to back up Miles Taylor at strong safety. Miles Taylor will not move. That's what Kirk Ferentz said. He will stay at free safety, or strong safety, I'm sorry. And then the other position, Noah Clayburgh moved, but, you know, again, he was a Gracier. Does it matter? I don't know. And I would anticipate, Monty Hooker probably putting in a pretty good spot. He's a big kid. They played him last year as a true freshman. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets in there. And I had a tradition of playing young kids coming in, right away. And so I don't know if free safety is the position that they would want to have a true freshman come in and start, but I could see a couple of newcomers, Matt Hankins or Jaimon Colbert or even Geno Stone maybe at secondary getting a chance to play right away. I think they got six defensive backs.
There's a glut of talent along the defensive line, probably going to get even better with Epinesa coming in the fall, and I'm not sure how you keep him off the field if he's as good as advertised coming in. It's going to be interesting to see how the playing time is going to be divided. They're talking about maybe moving Matt Nelson inside even a little bit, which would be a unique look for that Iowa defensive line.
You kind of start to wonder what can they do to get the most out of this unit. And I think they have four high-quality defensive ends. A.J. Epinesa is already as good as anybody they have there and maybe is in better. I mean, I went down and saw him last week, and he is a freak. He just looks and everything. So he's going to come in and play right away and play a lot. Now, what does that mean? Interior, that's where they're kind of losing guys. Jaleel Johnson is going to be in the NFL, and in a couple weeks he'll get drafted. Faith Akakny could as well, or probably play in Canada. And Nathan Budget has been hurt, so they really need two guys inside to step up and be good players. So, maybe on third down, maybe they move guys inside. Maybe your defensive ends, a Matt Nelson plays inside. Maybe Parker Hesse. Maybe A.J. Epinesa just on passing downs or something like that moves inside, although he prefers to stay outside. So I think it's probably a wise move to get as many good athletes on the field up front as possible. And I think Matt Nelson will play right away, and if he's healthy, because he's been out for the spring.
A bigger Akram Wadley is the man at running back, and it appears Torin Young, Toks Akinrabadi are the other two guys that are going to mix in there, or is there somebody else that might step in?
I think right now it's those three. I mean, Derek Mitchell's transferring, and they've got a couple of guys coming in. Ivory Kelly Martin comes to mind, might have a shot, but they really from the people I've talked to, they have a real strong like for Torin Young. He's a bigger guy. He's like LaShawn Daniels in build, so they didn't. In a normal year, maybe they wouldn't have redshirted him last year, but they had enough depth that they didn't need to get that far. And Toks is kind of the combination. He's bigger than Akram Wadley, but not as big as Torin. He's probably in that 210 range, maybe perfect build for a running back. So I think you'll see a mix of the three. Wadley will get the majority of snaps, but because he could do so many different things. But you just don't want to pound him, relentlessly. He's kind of like a little bit smaller version of Tavian Banks, I've always thought.
Yeah, and before we leave football here, Scott Docterman from Land of 10 joining us here covering the Hawkeyes live from Coach's Corner Sports Pub here on KGYM. What are you going to be looking for the most? You mentioned wide receivers. Yes, we know that. Next Friday night for the spring scrimmage or game or whatever, however you want to term it anyway. What else are you going to be looking for?
Yeah, I mean, viewing the wide receivers is kind of like kicking a puppy right now. How far do you kick them down? But I look at the I want to look at the tight ends. You know, George Kittle was such a good player last year, and if he wasn't hurt, he would have really done some good things. And I want to see how there's the progression there. You know, T.J. Hockenson, we've heard a lot about. You know, Noah Font has a lot of talent. I want to see that. I also want to see defensive back. I mean, you don't lose Desmond King, especially, and then Brandon Snyder and Greg Maben without, you know, looking at some issues. And, you know, Manny Rugamba should be really good. Who's going to be the opposite corner? Who's going to be the safety to replace Brandon Snyder? And then, like, and then also defensive tackle. We've heard, you know, they seem to like Brady Reef quite a bit, Riley Reef's brother. Cedric Lattimore has that size. Is he like Carl Davis when he's younger, or has he accelerated his program? And will he be a valuable contributor right away? I think those are the areas I'll be watching the most. Outside of quarterback, of course.
There you go, the quarterback situation. Hey, before we let you go here, looking back at Iowa basketball, how would you grade it out? How did you grade it out as far as the season is concerned? Getting to the NIT, doing what they did, a couple of big wins at the end of the year, lost to the eventual NIT champions in a heck of a game against TCU at Carver Hawkeye. Just your thoughts about it.
You know, a year ago I thought that I pegged their win total between 17 and 21, and there were a few times in the season I thought, the 21 or 17 sounds ambitious.
Probably after Omaha.
Yeah, exactly. So I judge them by this was a year I didn't think they would make the tournament. They lost 392 starts from a year before. I mean, some all-time players in statistically anyway. So I thought that they would struggle. I thought that they would, you know, but I didn't see 10-8 in the Big Ten coming. I thought that was really impressive for Iowa. So what I think I would grade it as a strong B, simply by the way they finished. They got in the postseason. They had a winning record in the Big Ten. They're only one of three programs in the Big Ten to have at least a 9-9 record the last 5 years, in each of the last 5 years, Wisconsin, Michigan State, and Iowa, because even Maryland didn't do it in the ACC and what have you. So I think overall it was a pretty successful year. They're one win really away from the NCAA tournament, maybe one win from winning the NIT. So, I think the future is certainly bright for this program. It's just a matter, can Fran elevate the program and take it one step farther, which really kind of needs to do at this point.
I have a sneaky suspicion, Scott, that Luca Garza is going to undergo what Adam Woodbury went through in terms of expectations. Here's a big guy, decorated right now. Do you expect him to come in and play a bunch right away?
Yeah, I think he'll start.
Okay.
I think he'll start at center, and he's a little bit more skilled offensively. Probably not quite the defender that Adam Woodbury was, who was so underrated in that position. I mean, you know, nobody respected him that watched him unless they really knew the sport. But I think Luka will come in. He'll start at center. That will solidify a lot of their defensive woes that they've had. He can be more of a 10-point scorer a game, 9 to 10 points right away. I think that's, you know, fair. But, you know, I don't know if the expectations will be super high like they were for Woodbury, who was a top 50 kid and everything, just simply because of the cast around him. When you have Tyler Cook and you have Jordan Bohannon, who are on the whole freshman team, but I think collectively it'll be high, whereas with Woodbury, I mean, we remember what it was like in the Licklider era and stuff. I mean, it was just like, you know, an oasis in the middle of a desert of basketballness, and he just wanted that to see something good, and he was kind of that shining light.
There's just something about being somewhere around 7 foot that people think he should be a superstar automatically, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And Garza's what, 6'10", 6'11"?
Yeah, 6'10", 6'11", yeah.
So. A different type, though, than Woodbury was.
He's actually kind of close to him. He's thick. He's big. He was like 275. Now he's like 240. He's not, again, not as long as Woodbury was. But
he can shoot it, though.
Yeah, he's
he
more
can shoot it.
He and Nungi are both those types of players. I mean, Nungi's like kind of like Ryan Kreener, you know, in that regard. And it's, so we'll see where he fits in. I don't want to say he's better because let's see what he does against him. But I think all these guys that they're bringing in, of course, Connor McCaffrey as well. They're all pretty good players. So I mean, if there's one thing that I'm looking at right now, and Fran hinted at it the other day that he's even a little nervous about it, is just trying to find enough playing time, because, you know, we saw this a couple of years ago where they went really deep, 10, 11 deep, And the problem was there wasn't a whole lot of separation. There was, other than Devin Marble, like that year, there wasn't anybody else, maybe Aaron White, that you looked at and you go, you know what, they are way better than player 7, 8, 9. I mean, Zach McCabe deserved to play, and you know, and some other players, and Jared Uthoff, what have you. And I think that's what they might find now is who sits and plays only 8 minutes and who gets unhappy versus who can play 25.
Yep. Very good. Well, read his stuff at Land of 10. Scott, always appreciate you stopping by, and thank you very much. We do appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Scott. I appreciate it.
All right. We'll take a break. Come back to the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard in the Walden Square, just south of the Finkbein Golf Course. So stay with us. More to come after this here in KGY.
All right, guys, step up your game and save at GNC. Make sure you're up to every test. Testosterone levels impact nearly every part of men's lives, and T-levels decline as men age. Testosterone support begins here. Find new and exclusive testosterone products you can only get at GNC and innovations from top brands like Nugenix, Ultimate Testosterone, and Cellucor P6 Extreme. We're talking enhanced drive and increased vitality. With GNC, you don't have to wait to maximize your potential. Sale ends May 3rd. Change begins here. Hashtag one new GNC.
If you don't sit in your lucky seat, your team could lose. So don't leave your lucky seat. But do pick up your phone or computer and order B-Dubs to go. Or if you've got a big group, call in for the party menu. That way you can order wings, pick them up, and get back to your lucky seat. And if you do lose while sitting in your lucky seat, you can still feel lucky eating your feelings. Spicy feelings. Keep your superstitions. We do it for you. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Prices and participation vary. See participating locations for details. Void where prohibited.
Stugatz here for Canadian Mist. You know what I'm looking forward to? Hanging with friends on the back deck. We'll grab the red Solo cups, pour some Canadian Mist whiskey with a splash of cola, a little crushed ice. It's so simple. There's absolutely nothing better. Whether you're making stories or telling them, it's how friends share a drink. Read about our story and get some great recipes at CanadianMist.com. Canadian Mist whiskey. Simply together, drink responsibly. Canadian Mist blended Canadian whiskey. 40% alcohol by volume. Brown Foreman, Louisville, Kentucky.
Looking good, Mr. King of the Hill. Mr. DXL Shopperman. Mr. Sharp Dressing. Confidence oozing. Style swaggering fashion stud. Looking good. All the brands you love, waist size 38 and up. DXL, you're looking good. Looking good starts with perfect fitting, move with you styles you can live in. So hurry in. Shop now at DXL.
Covering Eastern Iowa sports for more than 40 years combined. UNASH and Dukes. The Gym Class on KGYM.
All right, thanks to Scott Docterman from the Land of 10 for stopping by here. Coming up, it'll be the Todd Brommelkamp Show here on KGYM from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock. Stop on by. Happy hour underway here at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub. And you can get it. Get in on some great giveaways from KGYM as well. And just pick up your red ticket from Derek when you come in here, and we'll have some drawings throughout. I don't know how this goes. I don't know. Todd's driving. He said I'm the co-pilot here, so we'll talk more about that. You want to hang at 4 o'clock? You got time?
I have full confidence in you, Scott.
All right. Well, people may get tired of me by the time the 7 o'clock rolls around.
I doubt it.
Well, you're,
if they do, there's always happy hour here at Coach's Corner Sports Pub. Now until 6 o'clock, $2 domestic pints, $2.50 domestic bottles. The staff ready and willing and able to serve you right now.
Yeah, we had a great – I missed the lunches here at Coach's Corner. We had our lunch when we came here today. It was delicious as always, so remember to stop on by. White Sox and the Twins. Twins baseball coming up tonight for you on KGYM, the North Gym on 107.5 FM beginning at 7 o'clock this evening. More tomorrow coming up as far as baseball is concerned. We've got the St. Louis Cardinals tomorrow at 11 o'clock against the New York Yankees at Yankee Stadium. That will be at 11 o'clock with the pregame just past 12 noon with the first pitch. And then second game of the series between the White Sox and the Twins coming up at 12:30. And then on Sunday, we've got NBA playoff basketball, Portland and Golden State, game one of that series. That'll be at 1:30 with the pregame coming up on Sunday. And then an unusual Sunday afternoon time. I'm not sure what the Twins are doing on Sunday, but it's going to be a 2:30 pregame with a 3:05 first pitch Sunday for the White Sox and the Twins to close things out at Target Field before the Indians come in on Monday.
Kind of an odd time, isn't it?
It is an odd time. I got a feeling television may have something to do with that.
Maybe Easter? I don't know.
Could be Easter.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might be on to something. And happy Easter weekend to everybody out there. I know a lot of family coming in for a lot of folks out there. We hope you have fun.
Two games in progress right now in the top of the eighth inning. Pittsburgh leading the Chicago Cubs 4-2. And the third inning right now, Philadelphia tied with Washington 1-1. And among the games tonight, you mentioned the White Sox and Twins. Cardinals and Yankees, 6:05 first pitch. And I should imagine it will be on more than one TV here at the Coach's Corner.
Absolutely. Iowa City's home of the Cardinals, but Cub fans always welcome, as you can as you well imagine. All right, we're going to take another quick break. As we go to break, going to give you an opportunity to win our final four-pack of tickets to see the Colonels and the Kane County Cougars on Saturday, April the 22nd, and Sunday, April the 23rd. You got your choice, I believe, of one of those two, and you can give us a call. We'll take caller number 5 at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Jeff Downing, Zach Johnson back in the studio. They'll get your information. We'll come back and wrap things up on the Friday edition of the Gym Class here as part of the KG YM Road Trip, driven by Linder Tire Service. Back with more after this.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
This Saturday, the Colonels have an adult Easter egg hunt for fans 21 and over. Following the game, the field will be covered with hundreds of eggs filled with free beer and popcorn coupons, shooters of alcohol, tons of candy, and one grand prize egg with a free night in a Colonels Diamond Suite. Visit Colonels.com to get your tickets now for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Fixing your pavement can be more affordable than you think. Spring into action and stop dodging those cracks and potholes. Call Paint Asphalt. They can handle commercial parking lots, roadways, and your very own driveway. Serving the area for over 30 years, Paint Asphalt has decades of experience. Make your parking lot, roadway, and driveway look great. Pave it to last with Paint Asphalt. See them at paintasphalt.com.
The ball explodes off your club face like a rocket. It flies across the beautiful blue sky and nestles right next to the pin. That's what keeps us all coming back. Hey folks, Dave Austed here. Hardly any of us are going to make the pro tour, but we always have that itch to play because of that one shot. At Austed's Golf, we love the game as much as you do. Golf Digest just selected Austed's Golf one of the top fitters in the nation. Find out why. Go online at Austed's.com or visit your local Austed's to schedule your personal club fitting. Your one shot is waiting. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
They go to the ballpark to watch the game. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the Gym Class, KGYM.
And we are back with you here at Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. Big congratulations going out to Brad from Cedar Rapids. He is the winner of our final four-pack of tickets to see the Colonels in action, taking on the Kane County Cougars, not this weekend, but next weekend, Saturday or Sunday. You have your pick on that. Don't forget, come on down to Coach's Corner here and pick up your red ticket from Derek and chance to win some great KGYM prizes here. We're going to be giving those away throughout the evening here until 7 o'clock. Happy hour going on right now, as Mark mentioned a little bit earlier on. The Iowa softball team in action tonight, Colonels in action tonight, and Iowa baseball is on the road. They will be in Lincoln, Nebraska tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday.
You can certainly take advantage of the coach's garden as well. I know Sean unwrapping some new umbrellas for the patio out there, folks seated out there right now. So you've got your choices, coach's garden or inside here at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub.
Beautiful afternoon turned into a really beautiful afternoon. Coming up on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with yours truly on Sidekick, Jeff Johnson from the Cedar Rapids Gazette going to join us. We'll talk UNI spring football. We'll also talk Colonels. And then Jack Dom will stop by with Touching All the Bases and my premiere edition of Love It or Leave It. I hope I do well.
Look forward to it. I'm sure it will go fine. And I think Monday's interview guest, will go fine as well. Tune in Monday. Bill Johnson, author of Hal Trosky, A Baseball Biography. He's going to be our guest on Monday. It's a brand new book out that you can find anywhere books are sold. But Bill has penned a terrific book, chock full of stories. We'll talk to him about that on Monday during the Gym Class.
Yeah, really looking forward to that. Happy Easter weekend to everybody out there. I hope you have a good one, and we will join you again coming up Monday at 3.
See you on the tee.
See you on the first tee tomorrow. It's been the Gym Class on KGYM.
We learn with our hands. Ask anyone who's done something for long enough, and they'll tell you the best way to learn